Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Waddle and Sylvie, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Hope your Friday is going well. You've made it to your weekend. Got a busy show for you. The number to reach us is 312-332-3776. We're under now 2 weeks to at least the first round of the NFL draft. It's 2 weeks from yesterday when the Bears will draft number one and number nine if they stand pat. A lot of decisions still to be made. And we always have loved, throughout all of our years together here on ESPN 1000, talking to Charles Davis. You worked with him back in the NFL Network years ago.
A lifetime ago.
He is, and isn't he one of the nicest people on earth?
One of the nicest people you'll ever meet.
Yeah, and his knowledge on football is second to none. He is at the NFL Network. He is at CBS. And I have been excited to talk to him about the Bears and the NFL draft. And he joins us right now on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. CD, how you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good after that intro. I feel even better. I just hope you never find out what I did earlier today. So,
what'd you do earlier today?
Yeah, I feel a lot better.
What'd you do?
I can neither confirm nor deny that I, you know, might have kicked an old man down some stairs today. But you know, that's a whole different deal.
My guess, Charles, if you did that, that man deserved exactly what he got. That's my guess.
Could you imagine? Could you absolutely imagine? Oh, Lord.
It was probably anyway. Rich Eisen, and he probably deserved it. Right?
Well, back in the day, Rich would have had us both escorted out of the building. You know? Well, you know how it is, Tom.
You got to know
who's got the juice.
Yeah,
Rich had the juice, and I certainly did not. You had more of a case, but I definitely would have been the first to go.
I was. You're still there. I'm not. So I didn't win that.
I think that was a conscious decision on your part.
Charles, we were just talking about Caleb Williams. You know, it's been all the rage here, like not even since the season ended. This has been all the talk here since middle of the year with Justin. And it's been a very polarizing conversation. But I think finally Chicago has settled in to now knowing and embracing that Caleb Williams is coming to Chicago. And I was intrigued to hear a couple of weeks ago, I think, to read and to see who your comp is with a current NFL quarterback to Caleb Williams. Tell our audience who you think his comp is.
Yeah, for me, it's Aaron Rodgers because of what I saw, especially this season. And you have to understand that when I'm doing that comp, you guys get it. So anyone who can hear my voice, whenever we do comps, we're not always saying that guy is that guy. That's who he might remind us of, has traits of. We get there. I'll give you a quick example. J.J. McCarthy out of Michigan. When you watch him play, do you think immediately of C.J. Stroud? Probably not. But he's my comp because last year when C.J. Stroud came out, all we talked about were the things we didn't see him do. You didn't see him run the ball very often. You didn't see him have to play under pressure very often. You didn't see any comebacks because they were up 30 in most games, except when they played Michigan. You know, all those things that went into it. Then he goes out, and he's the rookie of the year by far, one of the great rookie seasons a quarterback has ever had. And all those things we said we weren't sure he could do, he was doing them. Now, they were on tape, but you had to really search for a lot of them. Aren't we saying the exact same thing about J.J. McCarthy this year? I mean, the exact same thing. We didn't see this. We don't see that. This isn't happening. Oh, that's right. They ran 28 times against Penn State. Didn't throw it in the second half. All of that kicks into the deal. So that's why my comp isn't going to be an apples to apples with him. The reason I go with Aaron Rodgers with Caleb Williams this year, plug in the USC tape, and I know you guys already have. How many times did you see him play out of structure? And how many of it was always that the play broke down and he had to be out of structure? Or did he quit trusting people up front and get out of structure earlier than he normally would? Remember before Aaron Rodgers had that last big run of it? Didn't he go like back-to-back MVPs?
Mm-hmm.
You guys remember those two or three seasons beforehand when we had all the conversation about friction with Mike McCarthy and, you know, this wasn't going as well as it was before, blah, blah, blah. you go back and plug in those tapes, because I remember doing a game against Detroit. I remember specifically. And I told my crew before the game I wanted to make the point. And sure enough, Aaron gave it to me early. Took the snap and started creating before we even got into a rhythm. There was either a lack of trust there, or he thought that was the right way to play. Whatever it was, well, USC last year, offensive line, some struggles, and he always had to make plays because the defense wasn't very good, so he was always having to bring his team back. That was a big reason I saw the same thing. Those types of plays, unstructured, can run the football when necessary. Accuracy is off the charts. Throws the deep ball really, really well. All those things that go into it, that's where I put the comp. Now, got a long way to go before you're Aaron Rodgers. We know that.
Of course.
But if you're going to comp someone, style of play is one thing. Because a lot of people comp them to Mahomes. And I get it. I'm not saying that that comp is wrong. I just see it with different eyes because of what I remember about Aaron during those years where unstructured was actually the structure. And I saw that a lot with Caleb Williams last year at USC. And by the way, that can change as soon as he gets an offensive line you trust, right? That can change as soon as you get back to it. And remember when it changed with Aaron Rodgers? And back in rhythm, 1, 2, 3, throw the ball. Tom, you know as a receiver, if it's supposed to be 3 and a hitch, that ball's got to come out because of where your route is and how you're breaking it and all that. He got back to that, and my goodness, he got back to being that Aaron Rodgers, and we saw the back-to-back MVP. Yeah.
We were just talking about this, Charles, and we're talking to Charles Davis from the NFL Network and CBS, that two different NFL experts have comped Caleb Williams to Kyler Murray. When you hear that, how do you react?
I think there's some similar to what I'm talking about with Aaron, but much more of a – see, when I think of Kyler getting unstructured, I do think much more of Kyler unstructured than Kyler taking off downfield. You know, Aaron was getting out of structure, but he still wanted to throw that ball downfield. As you guys well know, when he gets out of structure, Aaron, he's not throwing the 5-yard check down. He's throwing the kill downfield. Right, he wants to throw that ball and put something, make you pay for it. That's why I see more of him than I do of Kyler. Plus, it's hard for me to get the body comp, which is a little bit different. I do see where they're saying with style of play a little bit. I kind of can get that. I can get with that. But to see Kyler Murray skitter around the field, it's a little bit different for me. It's hard for me to get my head totally there and make that comp myself. And again, I'm not saying that they're wrong. That's how they see it. I see it differently.
Charles, obviously, you know, Caleb has shown on a number of occasions, illustrated what you just talked about, being able to play out of structure. Can he play in structure at a really high level at the NFL?
He can. Go back to 2022 and plug in those tapes.
Right.
It's a different deal.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just like, oh. Go back to Oklahoma when he took over there and watch him play in structure. Yeah, he can do it. I'm not worried about that part. I really feel like last year there's a big part of him out of structure because of what I said before. Maybe a little less trust of the offensive line, but he was in tight ball games all year long. Like, a lot of his games was, if he didn't score, like, what do we talk about in certain things? If you don't score here, it could be a such-and-such point swing. Well, for him, he was thinking it could be a 14-point swing. The 70's not getting on this drive. And a 7, they're going to give up on the other side.
Right.
I mean, remember, did you guys watch Colorado last year, them against Colorado, when they were absolutely blasting Colorado?
Yes.
And you probably went and made a sandwich or, you know, did something else or flipped somewhere, and you're like, oh, okay, well, this, you put a little dent in this one. And then you came back and said, what's the score?
Yeah.
That's what I think he dealt with a lot last year.
Charles, if you have your choice of all of these quarterbacks, and it's quarterback-rich draft, are you choosing Caleb? And do you believe Caleb, because of the infrastructure that is in place here in Chicago, do you believe he has the best possibility of being successful as early as possible?
Yeah, and let me just say something first before I give you my full the right answer. You know, my answer, I should say. I shouldn't say the right answer. My answer. Chicago has built themselves to a point from these two eyes to where whatever quarterback got chosen in that spot would have a great chance of success. And the reason I say that is I feel like there's a little bit more of that stability. We use that word all the time. Ryan Poles, Eberflus kind of working together, scouting department working together. what they've drafted in time, how they played the second half of last year, where Eberflus ended up taking over the defense he didn't expect to, but boy, I give him a ton of credit for being smart enough to realize, you know something, that's working pretty well. I'm going to keep calling it. Great play. Bet on yourself, because that's what you're the master of. I thought the offense got better, even though we're going to have different people in there. But the makings of an offensive line that can help a young quarterback is there. Is there more work that can be done? Yeah, we know that. But this is not abysmal that you're walking into. I mean, it's not what Bryce Young walked into. Okay? I mean, people can get on Bryce Young all they want, and there's plenty of things you can ding him for. Let any of the three of us go play behind that last year and see what kind of success we're going to have. And with the craziest irony, you know, he and C.J. Stroud went head-to-head last year. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Houston went to Carolina, and Carolina won.
Yeah.
And Bryce Young outplayed C.J. Stroud.
Right.
Weirdest thing I've ever seen when you take the whole season as Now, to answer your question, yes, I would take Caleb Williams number one. I think he's walking into a place that he has a chance for success. I realize, and I love how you open this, all the fighting about should we keep, you know, Justin, what's going on? Well, everyone finally has realized he's out the door, he's not coming back. What are you doing? Turn the page. Let's go. Yeah. Let's rally around this young kid and see what happens. I do think that he has a great chance for success here, and I do think that I would take him above all the other quarterbacks, even though there's some pretty good ones in this draft.
And based on what you said, and we're talking to Charles Davis, and we've had you on. Charles, I don't know if you're going to believe this. I don't know if we can believe it. We've been together now for over 17 years, Waddle and me. And we've had you on throughout those 17 years.
Yeah.
We've had you on through some of the arguing over Jay Cutler. We've had you on through Mitch Trubisky. We've had you on through Justin Fields. And every time we've hoped that guy was going to be the answer. Like, when we have you on in 3 years from now, do you think we'll be thrilled that Caleb Williams is now the quarterback of the Bears?
Well, if we're really being honest about it, the history of the Bears says no, we won't be happy in 3 years.
All right, Charles, that's enough from you. Good night. Have a great week.
Yeah, you just kicked another man down the stairs. What the hell?
Right? I mean, that's the reason that we've gotten along so well, right?
That's
you guys
right.
have a BS meter, and you're not going to let me get away with that. The truth of the matter is the history of the Chicago Bears at the quarterback position, no one's ever happy over an extended period of time. It's just the way it's been. How many times have you guys had to invoke Sid Luckman?
Oh.
Okay.
But on that topic, Charles.
And yes, McMahon won a Super Bowl, but did that sustain? He came back and weighed 280 the next year in training camp, and that was all she wrote.
Yeah. Right.
You know,
okay. So that's all I'm saying is the history says that. What my eyes tell me is that this kid has a great chance of doing that. I like the structure that's in place now. I like the front office. I like the coaching staff in terms of what Eberflus did last year when he could have collapsed. You guys know it better than I do. Tell me I'm wrong. He could have collapsed under that pressure last year. He flat out could have. Yeah. Things went haywire. His defensive coordinator gets escorted out of the building is what I've heard. I don't know if I'm right on that one, but all of a sudden, boom, he's out. Now you got to adjust on the fly. Everyone's fighting about whether you're doing the right thing with Justin Fields or not. Is the offense going to get going? And that defense hung in there, and played well down the stretch. I just liked what I saw. Now, is 1 year the same the next year? You know, what you did last year going to translate to the next year? You hope. But most of the people we run into say, yeah, there's not as much momentum in this league as you think. But I do like the direction that they're headed. Getting Jalen Johnson back was a big deal. I just like it, and I do think this kid's got a chance for success. So I'm going to go against history, and I'm going to say you're not going to be talking about Vince Evans and Bob Avellini here.
Oof.
How about that?
Thank goodness. And like we like to say, Charles, you can't hang the sins of a previous regime on this current group. So,
no.
You know, here's a different time. Here's hopefully a different result. They have an opportunity as well to help themselves a little bit later in the first round at number 9.
Yeah.
What do you believe would be the optimal result at 9?
If we had talked, let's say, January, early February, wouldn't you have told me that your fans would have been screaming, give me Caleb Williams and one of those top receivers and we're good?
Yes, that's what they were screaming.
That's what I was
You're not screaming that anymore, I don't believe, right? Because you picked up, you know, Keenan Allen out of the from the Chargers. So it's not the same need, Now, if they went and got one of those receivers, I wouldn't blame them because of their playmakers. But to me, if you could get an edge, one of the top edge rushers in this draft at 9, I think that would be a really happy move for them. Now, the kicker is, who do they like the best out of all of them? Because they're three different guys. Yes, duh, three different people, but they're three different styles. Okay? The heaviest, most thumping guy you got is Verse. Dallas Turner is going to give you some of that, but it's not the same, and he's not quite as twitchy as Latu is. Latu's a lot more like Jalen Phillips coming out of UCLA. All right, who went to the Miami Dolphins. There's some similarities in how they carry themselves, how they move, even down to uniform number. All right, he's got the most tools in his bag about pass rushing and what he's going to do. But you're going to ask yourself, can he hold up three downs against the run? He's going to have to prove that part, plus with the medical that comes into play. Those are your three top edge rushers. All right, after that, if you want to bring Chop Robinson into the discussion, you can. But I do think it's those three, and then there's a line. And then we get to the next set of pass rushers off the edge. So you're not going to use Chop Robinson at 9, I don't believe. I think one of those three at 9, I don't have a major argument for that. To me, that's part of what's going to be the discussion with Ryan Poles, Matt Eberflus, and the rest of the crew. Do we do that? Or do we say, you know something? This is a really top-heavy offensive tackle group. Do we want to do something with Braxton Jones at left tackle? Not that he's been – I don't think he's been horrific – but do we want to think maybe we upgrade there since they spent the capital on Darnell Wright last year from Tennessee? To me, that's part of the big discussion that the Bears are going to have.
And Charles, is there any way that Joe Alt falls to them at 9?
It would take a few different tumbles in terms of this trade happened here, this trade happened there, this team moved here, this team moved there for specific targets. And there's only one quarterback target, I think, that we're talking about, because I do think that with all the smoke about Drake May no longer being, you know, the flavor of the week, I don't believe it. I don't buy it. I say this every year, and I'm going to say it one more time with you guys. We start in January as we go to the bowl games, meaning the All-Star games, with the idea that these are the top players at certain positions, right? And then after about a month or so of talking about how great those kids are, We got to start picking at them a little bit because we're bored. We got to start drawing them. We got to bring them some challengers, okay? Well, maybe he's not as good, you know, and he's got some flaws, and maybe you ought to play this guy and this guy. Well, you know, no one's talked about him. We've overlooked him. And we go through plenty of time with that. And then about this time, what are we, a little bit less than 2 weeks before the draft? Yeah. You know what settles back in? Oh, yeah, you remember how we had him ranked in January? Pretty close to that again, folks.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we're going with Drake May. I'm hearing all this conversation about I wouldn't touch him, and I saw this one quote from a coach who said, you know something, we'd all be fired by the time he's ready to play. And I've spent time with this young man. I think he's got the right stuff about him. I realize he's a redshirt sophomore, so it's only 2 years of play as opposed to the three or four that you would really like. But there's a lot in there. I mean, comes from the family where you know, he was tested each and every day. Now, you know, nothing but D1 athletes.
Yeah.
This is how old I am. I was in school when his dad was the quarterback in North Carolina. Okay? So I remember Mark May playing. All right? I've seen his brothers play on the basketball court, you know? You understand that sometimes these guys are forged a little bit more fire than they get credit for. I don't know who the coach was that said it, and I'm not going to fight him on his opinion, like if that's what he sees. I would take the opposite opinion, and I would roll with Drake May. I think he's going to be an excellent player. That's why I think that when it's all said and done, whoever's coming up to get a quarterback, I'd be surprised if you're not coming up from McCarthy, who's the fourth quarterback. Because I do think 1, 2, 3, if you're New England, if Bill Belichick's there, you're thinking about trading back, because that's what he does. He's not there. Okay? And Mr. Kraft has been very vociferous in the last 3, 4, 5 years about the draft, has he not?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he wants to let one go. The only thing that can upset it is if they get in their head, and they can, J.J. McCarthy, Michigan, Tom Brady, Michigan. J.J. McCarthy, underrated. Tom Brady, underrated. J.J. McCarthy, he can handle New England. That might let's do history again. That could very well happen. That wouldn't shock me, truthfully. It absolutely wouldn't shock me. Tom, you've been around that a long time. You were in the NFL. Am I way off on how people all of a sudden get there with certain things like that?
No, I not at all. And the funny thing about what you said, Charles, is like you go back to the Andrew Luck RG3 draft.
RG3.
You remember,
that one?
In January, everyone was like, Andrew Luck, there's no question. And then as you closer to the draft, everyone was like, maybe RG3. There was not a single front office guy in the National Football League in that draft that would have taken RG3 over Andrew Luck when it came to the draft day.
And here's the thing. It always comes back to so many of those things. I think you are spot on because that's one of my favorite examples of the whole deal. Andrew Luck had been the purported number one pick for 2 years.
Right.
Okay? We tried to rise people up against Trevor Lawrence. Remember that? Where Trevor went for about 3 years, he was going to be the number one pick when he came out. And wasn't that Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson?
Yes.
Okay, so we had, like six quarterbacks or seven quarterbacks between in the first two, three rounds of that draft? I think there's only two that are with the same team that they started with, and one of them is only there because they can't find another place to offload him, and that's Zach Wilson.
Yeah, yeah.
Lawrence is the last survivor, and he was number one at the top. Hasn't quite got to where we expect him to be. We thought last year would be the big jump, but again, he was battling injuries. This is the year it kind of has to happen that we expect. But going back to RG3 and Andrew Luck, we did everything possible to make RG3 the competitor. And by the way, he had a heck of a rookie year.
He did, yeah.
But the last thing I'm going to say, guys, is here's the one thing that all of us have got to start keeping in mind. When we talk about mobile quarterbacks, you will hear this 9 times out of 10 when one of us knuckleheads gets on air and starts yapping. And you ready for it?
Yeah.
Hey, give me that mobile quarterback behind a bad offensive line because maybe he can keep some things alive, he can create some plays and what have you. You know who takes more sacks than anyone in the league? Mobile quarterbacks. Yep. You know why? They never give up on a play. Yep. They always think they can get out of it. Go back and look at Russell Wilson's sack numbers early in his career. Go check RG3 sack numbers early in his career. Go check any of these mobile quarterbacks, especially early before they realize, hey, I got to get rid of it and live to fight another down and quit giving up yardage. They take way more sacks than you would expect. The immobile guys that play out of the pocket and know that they can't run anywhere and get rid of it, they take a lot less sacks. How many sacks did Peyton ever take?
Not many.
How many sacks did Drew Brees? You know, Drew Brees wasn't taking sacks because he knew what he was doing.
Tom Brady's the ultimate example.
Well, we lived it. We lived it the last 3 years.
Yeah, you're right. I think Justin Fields, in terms of sack percentage, probably led the league, and there was nobody more elusive than him.
And it's because they have so much confidence in who they are as athletes that they don't say, live to fight another down. Oh, I'm a sliver away from making this a big play. And you know what else happens? They make just enough of those plays that they don't abandon it. Yeah. Right? Most of the time you're like, no. And then they get away and they're like, okay. Now remember, next time, man, you got to get rid of the ball. And they don't.
Yep.
Because, I got out of it last time, so enough of that soapbox preaching. It's just that I've learned that over the years. I love mobile quarterbacks, but I like mobile quarterbacks who understand when to be mobile and when to say, guess what, we're coming back for second down. Hey, guy in the fifth row, here's a new Duke football for you.
That's right. Charles, really quick, just in 10 seconds, just to clarify, you said about the pass rushers. I just want to make sure that I heard you correctly. If Odunze is on the board at 9 and those pass rushers are on the board at 9, you're choosing one of the three pass rushers, correct?
I'm making a very, very concerted effort conversation with my crew. Which way are we going? Because I think a pass rusher there would really help Chicago. Look at the division now. Green Bay, Detroit. You got to do something with those offenses.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Charles, we really appreciate your time. You do great work. Thank you so much for taking that.
Thanks, Charles.
Hey, appreciate you guys as always. Take care of yourselves.
You got it.
Have
you
a great
too.
Weekend.
There's Charles Davis, NFL Network, CBS. I'm sure I'll have the Bears next year, too. He does Madden as well. He's on the Madden game.
He's fantastic.
312-332-3776. What would you do? Would you, I've heard more of that, hey, maybe consider the offensive line, like he said. Take the best pass rusher and maybe pass on one of the wide receivers. We discussed earlier in the week, would you trade up for Marvin Harrison? And now you have a guy saying, even if Odunze's there at 9, maybe you just take one of the best edge rushers. So what do you think on what you heard from Charles Davis? And then are we, it seems like we're all there now on Caleb Williams. Is everyone settled in on this? Has all Bears fans pretty much settled in and happy and rolling and ready to go?
It's a good question to ask, and I have a little something on top of that I'd like to ask
people
as well.
Okay, good, good. And the comps. So want to hear from you. We have time to take your calls at 312-332-3776.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. This is Waddle and Sylvie on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
So his comp to Caleb was Aaron Rodgers. And again, this is, he explained it. The comp is like best case comp, and for different reasons he explained. And also, if Adunze is there, he said he would lean towards taking the best edge rusher if all three are there. It the number nine pick's going to be very intriguing as well.
Look, I think that we've had this discussion most recently as well, because Adunze, we're going to find out who they obviously have rated higher on their board, because I still believe that's how they do their business. But Adunze would be a luxury in some ways, because you've got DJ Moore and you traded for Keenan Allen. It doesn't mean that you can't use him. You could definitely use him. But is the best pass rusher who fits the system, does that guy address a bigger need? Can that guy have an even greater impact early than maybe the wide receiver? I'm just really interested to see how Ryan Poles handles that.
Right.
That
like, but like you said, I think the bottom line is if they grade Adunze as the third or fourth best prospect in the draft,
they're drafting him.
That's who they're drafting.
I feel confident that that's the case. You're going to find out how they feel about it.
Right, right. They don't, like, I don't think they do it the way that you said or Charles said later. Like, if there's a tie or they're really, really close, they may think of it that way. But again, like, I know that we're considering it a luxury, but they still only have two real known receivers. And while we consider that a luxury, like Keenan Allen and DJ Moore, they're top heavy, and then they have no one else proven. Like, it's Tyler Scott, who is not proven. And who else? Velus Jones? Who's on the roster?
I think EQ is still on the roster. They re-signed Dante Pettis.
No, EQ just signed up with New Orleans.
So Pettis, they re-signed.
Yeah, he stinks.
Well, you asked who's on the roster.
That's what I mean. Yeah. So, like, that's why I don't believe it's a luxury. Like, that's why it's not this a luxury item like people are saying.
Well, if you look at it in comparison, I got two all-pro receivers. I've got a hole at defensive end.
Right.
I agree with that. I've got priority over here, and history tells you I can find a receiver later in the draft. Maybe not our group, but in the NFL, you can find that guy.
And then Keenan Allen's only signed for 1 year.
Yeah.
He could go bad at any. We don't know when he could go bad.
My guess is if Rome Odunze's available at nine, that would be, I would put my money on him being the guy that they draft. But I don't know who they have rated higher. If they've got one of the pass rushers rated higher, they're drafting him.
Or one of the offensive tackles.
Or one of the offensive tackles. They're going to draft him. That's just how they do business. So,
what were you going to say?
Got options.
What were you going to say about Caleb Williams then, too? About when I brought up the fact,
to terms?
Are we finally settled in as a fan base? And in general terms, because everyone's different. But in general terms, are we all ready to go? And are we settled and excited? Because I certainly am. And like again, like I don't know if it's going to work or not, but I'm excited to find out, and I'm optimistic about it.
I try to stay above the fray as much as I can and not be a child more often than not. But I am compelled to just ask, now that this has been decided, is anybody willing, those that have been nasty and lacked civility, is anybody willing to just at the very least put their hand in the air and say, maybe I was wrong? I know that that's really not a requirement on social media or people that call in. We spent weeks, if not months, talking in a very respectful fashion about what we thought the Bears were going to do and what they were leaning in the direction they were leaning. Not throwing darts, not playing favorites, not running anybody out of town, as people suggested we were. I was just, you know, and then having a really serious conversation. And the first time it came up was when Meller mentioned it weeks ago about, okay, we believe they're going to move on. What really will they get in return for Justin and a Trey? Like, we spent a lot of time talking, not in a vindictive way, not in a disrespectful way, and we kept getting people say to you, you guys are idiots. You guys are asshats. You have no idea. He hasn't been traded because they were never going to trade him all along. And people would come at you on social media. So, like I said, maybe I'm being a child right now.
Right,
but I'm just asking, is anybody out there that was being less than civilized and being one of the social media turds?
Okay.
Are you willing to put your hand in the air and just say, you know what, guys? Maybe I got a little bit too aggressive. I was a little too emotional. Maybe you guys weren't being turds about this. Maybe this was a pretty, you know, respectful conversation. No, we just got it wrong.
They could even use an alias.
Sure.
So what name can they use? Like, they could all go by the same name. Kurt? Everyone who calls in is Kurt? I don't know. What can they go by?
Why would you pick Kurt?
I don't know.
Was there someone?
First name that
you
came.
You know what I'm saying? Like, am I being too petty when I say this or ask this? Haven't you thought the same thing? Like, everyone was there kicking our ass on you know, you guys have no idea. You guys are the reason why. The media is evil. You guys, have any of you had an opportunity to kind of just take a step back and have a deep breath and go, yeah, maybe you guys weren't just out there playing media. You guys have a narrative. No. What we did was we took all of the information and all of the conversations and put them into a little calculator and came up with a kind of a thought or a theory as to what direction we thought they were going. You were inundated with people just drilling you with hate.
There were
times when you would walk into the office.
I'm still,
and then we were going to have to give you a back rub.
I'm still waiting for a Chase Claypool apology.
Right.
From a year ago. That was close to a year ago in May, wasn't it?
And don't get me wrong.
Sylvie's making this up.
This isn't a victory lap in any way, shape, or form. Because I'll also, in the same breath, tell you there's no guarantee that Caleb Williams is going to be a guaranteed success.
But I'm ready to go on this.
As am I. But for the group of folks out there, Bears fans, and we're all Bears fans, and I used to say whoever would listen, we all have, or we should all have, the same goal in mind, and that is our favorite team will compete for the top prize each and every year. We may disagree on the route that they take to get there, but we're all pulling on the same end of the rope. But there were people out there telling, you know, suggesting that, A, we were foolish. Okay, that may be the case, but not in this instance. And that we were the motivation. We were forcing the people up at Hallis Hall to make the decision that ultimately they made.
All right, so does anyone want to take Waddle up on his challenge? What are you calling this?
I don't even think it's a challenge. I just wonder where everybody went that was, you know, willing to...
What are you calling this? What would you like to call this, then?
A return to reality?
Would anyone like to take Waddle up on his return to reality? And what are you looking for? An apology?
I don't know. I'm wondering how everybody that was out there puffing their chest out and screaming from the mountaintops of social media about how the Bears were never going to make a trade anyway, or that you and I and anybody else, we were just the ones stoking the fire and forcing them to make a change. I'm just wondering whether or not anybody has had a change of heart with regard to how it all transpired. Aren't you curious?
I know how people are.
They just scatter away.
That's what happens.
Ether?
The light goes on and people scatter.
They went into the ether.
But when they're right, they'll be the first ones to call.
I just wondered. Every now and again, I wonder. Did I play the just asking game? I just wonder where the folks went.
Let's take some calls. Rick in Arlington Heights here on ESPN 1000. What's up, Rick?
Hi, guys. Just a couple comments about what they're going to do with the number 9 pick. And so kind of watch what Poles has been doing, and he likes to talk a lot. And then free agency, when he picked up a couple receivers. So I'm thinking, after seeing what Sweat did to the defense when they picked him up, how he completely changed it, grab one of those three edge rushers that may be available at 9, because that would really make an impact. As far as receivers, he picked up a couple receivers already in free agency, so that kind of tells me maybe He's not going to do pick up Odunze, even if he's available. And as far as Caleb Williams, I love Justin and everything, but once Paul said early on, we're going to do right by Justin, well, that kind of told me, he's going to maybe grab Caleb. And as far as are they going to take him for sure? Well, on draft day, if Washington calls,
no,
and maybe
stop.
Offers.
Rex, stop. Stop. Yeah. That's okay. Not going to happen. That's not going to happen.
He's doing the opposite of what you were looking for. He's still looking for the hall. You're still looking for the hall?
You never know what they're going to offer. What if they offered both of those second round picks that they have in a 25 number one pick? And then they get the number two. Then you take Jaden Daniels and you know.
Rick, does Ryan Poles love Caleb Williams?
That would be yes.
Then 100%. No. Then the answer is no.
In 13 short days, this will be another page that we can just turn. Again, it's not a guarantee that Caleb Williams will, you know, morph into an NFL All-Pro.
You trade for the hall, and you finally surround Tyson Bagent with enough talent so the Bears can develop their 13 quarterback.
13 short days.
By the way, I think Trucker JP actually wants to do the opposite. I don't think he wants to admit anything. I think he wants to take this a little bit further. What's up, Trucker JP?
Hello, guys. How you guys doing? Y'all hear me okay?
Yeah. Are you on speaker?
No, I got my headset on.
Yeah, take the headset off.
Well, I'm driving. I'm a trucker.
He's driving. He's a trucker. He's driving.
You don't have a better headset?
He's not lawn chair JP. He's trucker JP.
Switch to the good headset, trucker JP.
Yeah, I mean, but doesn't it sound like a bad headset?
Oh, it sounds like a horrible connection.
Yeah.
But.
Well, you know, there's nothing I've got to work on right now.
Charlie Brown just called. This sounds like Charlie Brown.
Can you hear me?
That's a little bit better.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm just saying, I have to see it on the field first before I believe anything.
I don't think.
It's all hype and everything. I'm just not going to believe it until I see it on the field. Is that okay?
No. Let me push it.
I think what Trucker JP is saying, if I could interpret. He's not sold.
Did he make a point?
I think.
What do you mean?
I think his point was. I think I heard something about Caleb hasn't done anything.
No, he has. Of course not.
Of course. So nobody is arguing with Trucker JP about that.
That's not what you were saying.
That's exactly not what I was going to say. In fact,
I didn't even know he missed the point. The connection was worse than I thought.
What I said was that their drafting of him does not guarantee anything.
No.
But to think that they were doing something different all along and you and I were just trying to sell everybody a story was total horse manure.
I do like the idea, though, of possibly having a draft where you can let the players play in the NFL first, and then you can go back and draft them retroactively. So maybe like the Bears can draft C.J. Stroud this year with the first overall pick. I'd sign up for that.
Like a full year of preseason?
Or just an actual NFL season. You get to see them prove themselves, and then you know without a doubt what you're getting. Right? Yeah.
We'll give them another chance here on the other side. 312-332-3776. We'll also shift to some baseball coming up. Our old friend, if you've listened to our show for a long time, Wayne Randazzo used to do SportsCenter updates here. Boy, and since then, he is now the voice of the Anaheim Angels. Is that what they're called, or the LA Angels? What the hell are they called? Los Angeles Angels. And he's
not Ohtani's.
Yes, and now he is doing the Apple Game of the Week, which is featuring the Cubs tonight. So he's doing the Cubs game tonight. So he's going to join us coming up at 4, Jesse at 5, and all of your football calls, 312-332-3776. That is if you're not on Trucker JP's headset, 332-3776.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie. Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
I don't know if you saw this really quick, and then we'll get back to the phones with football calls. Chris Getz says that Moncada could be back a little earlier than they first announced on the other side of the All-Star break. So what did they say originally, 2 to 3 months?
3-6.
Yeah, three to six. Oh, so now they're saying on the other side of the All-Star break, he could be back. Luis Robert out 6 weeks.
A long time.
What if Moncada's in the All-Star game?
Just got to hang tough for 2 months, boys.
What if he's an All-Star? Can he still play?
Okay.
Okay, what?
That's not funny.
Nothing about what's going on the South Side is funny.
That's true.
Just got to grind it out for 2 months, and then reinforcements will be on their way.
I'm told JP has taken off his headset. All right, so have you rectified your phone issue here, JP?
Yeah, I pulled over. I got to get some fuel anyway.
Listen how clear that is.
Where are we at right now, JP? Where are we at?
I'm just outside of Janesville, Wisconsin.
Okay. Oh, boy. Are you going to take a dump there in Packerland?
What?
Huh?
What?
No, I'm dropping off some glass.
Some glass? That's what we're calling it? Is that code? Dropping off some glass in Packerville?
No, it's not. It's not like that.
Okay. I think Tony Romo's from Janesville or from around there. Isn't he from Janesville? All right, go ahead. What's on your mind?
Maybe you should go back there and call high school games.
Okay, this is what I'm saying. Okay, excuse me for not getting all hyped up. I've been a Bears fan since 99, and I've been through all the ups and downs and everything like that. So I'm not getting excited anymore. I've been through this too many times. Prove it on the field. I'm not knocking anybody for getting excited. For myself, I'm not getting excited until I see it on the field and it's proven to me. Sorry, I'm not sorry.
That's fair. Who's asking you to get excited, JP?
You guys are asking me to get excited.
I'm not asking you. I'm asking you to fan however you want. I'm just telling you how I feel. It'd be silly for me, JP, to come out here and give you what you think. I have to come on here and give you what I think.
You said you fan how you want to fan, but then you say, well, I can't get excited. I can't get excited until I see it on the field. I've been through this too many times.
You can get excited whenever you want. If that's tomorrow, if that's after 3 weeks, if you don't get excited at all, that's completely up to you. Nobody's telling you how to be excited or not excited.
You just said get excited. This is all settled. Okay.
Who's saying to get excited? Okay, I'm just saying.
This is all I'm saying. It may not be for everybody else, but for me as a fan, I have to see it on the field first before I let my heart go all the way in again. Because I've been through this through Jay Cutler, Mitch Trubisky, whatever his name is, and now Justin Fields. I'm not doing it again until I see it on the field. I need proof.
I think anybody that would tell you to get excited when you don't want to be excited, those people can kick rocks.
Look, and you can do with that the way you want. I'm just going to say, what if he isn't good early on? Are you going to, like, look for a new team? What are you going to do?
No. I've been here for the last 3 months. He's generational. I expect nothing less than CJ Stroud first year set. I don't care.
What happens if it's – look, you know how these things go. Nothing – this is unpredictable. What if he's not – what are you going to do? Are you going to look for another team? Are you going
– No, it's not like – this is why I'm not getting excited and all happy and all hop and everything like that. I'm just waiting to see it on the field.
I'm not pushing everything in.
I'm not doing it again.
You sound like you're being resistant. Who's asking you to be excited?
Cap.
Well, call Cap and yell at him.
Well, I did try to yell at him, but they wouldn't let me get on the radio.
My response, JP, is like if somebody is telling you to do something and I didn't tell you to do something, you're yelling at me. I didn't tell you what to do.
I tried to yell at Cap. They wouldn't let me on the radio.
Why
are they not letting people on? Why do people always call us?
They
won't take our calls. Why is this always happening?
He said, no, we ain't taking it. I'm like, okay, no problem.
This happened with Marcus in Minneapolis, too.
Yes, yeah,
he's
exactly.
calling us and he's telling us that they won't take his car. All right,
that's
JP.
What I'm saying.
Look, JP, are you married?
I'm not. You know what? I'm in the process of getting married. I just got the ring, but don't tell my wife. Don't tell her.
Oh, congratulations.
See? Things are on the up and up. Yeah. Now,
I just got the ring.
How many women did you date before you found the one?
That's personal.
Four.
So, like, that's about the same amount of quarterbacks that you went through as a Bears fan. Did you get excited after the first date with your new wife?
Well, Well, I did. Well, this girl I've known since 2003. We just came back to each other like 2 years ago. So,
oh, okay. So then the analogy sucks.
Is she a Caleb Williams fan?
Sure, she doesn't even like football. So,
okay,
that's what I think you should buy her. I think you should buy her a Caleb Williams jersey after he's drafted.
I did get her like a best starter jacket for her.
Okay. See, then that's the one.
Buy her a Cap jersey. Just get a Bears jersey with Cap's name on the back.
What's that?
Let me put the headset on.
All right, all right. See you, Trucker JP.
Have a great weekend.
All right, here's Hussein, who says, this is a gut feeling that this won't work out. We're trying to haul the optimist today. Hussein, why are you saying this?
Okay, let's understand what my point is, guys. I mean, first of all, on one hand, you're saying, well, we don't know. Well, if we don't know, that's exactly it. We don't know.
Okay.
You're waiting. It's a philosophical argument. It's called an argument of ignorance. Exactly. This is a classic example of just that. So if you're going to tell me we don't know, then why do we need to take Caleb Williams? Why can't we take any of the other three or four quarterbacks?
You can. You can take whoever you want as a fan. Like, you could cheer for whatever
it
is.
No, guys. I wish it was more than as a fan. I wish I was sitting in the seat to do it, okay? Because you're sitting in a golden opportunity. Once-in-a-lifetime, truly golden opportunity.
Yeah.
And don't invest. I'm a gambler, too, okay? I ran a legal high school gambling operation in high school. I'm a gambler from a long time. When I had a case in high school, it was back in the 70s. Gambling for a long, long time, so on a lot of different levels.
You've been gambling? I'm having a tough time understanding you, too. Did you say you've been gambling for a long time?
Yes.
And that's pertinent for what reason?
It's pertinent for one reason, because you have a chance to trade the number one pick twice and still get a quarterback that's in the top three or five. That's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
And that's what you would have preferred that they did. That's what you wish they would have done.
That's what I wish. Hoping he will do.
You're still holding out hope that's going to happen.
Yes, I am.
Now you don't really believe that, though, right?
I really do believe that. And come 7:15, 7:20, whatever, on the 25th. I couldn't be more happy.
Sorry, so
he wants the double haul. So you're going to trade it twice. You want the double haul.
You still think there's a big ruse, and Ryan Poles is going to do what you want him to do?
I'm not saying ruse, but I mean, if I were going to play it, also being a poker player, it's a perfect way to play it.
But Hussein, let's add this to the equation, because information is key here.
Right.
They've only had one quarterback come up to Hallis Hall, and Caleb Williams has only made one visit.
And that's a perfect way to play it if you were going to trade it.
So you think that's the ultimate head fake?
I think there's enough leverage to trade him already to not do the one visit. You know what I mean? I don't think they have to raise his stock anymore if they really wanted to trade it.
Yeah. I just don't think there's any.
Hussein, thanks.
Yeah.
See what you did? I mean, like,
this has nothing to do with what I was talking about. What I was talking about was the knuckleheads that were screaming at us, telling us that we were the reason why Ryan Poles was going to trade Justin Fields. And it was the worst decision ever. And, oh, by the way, he hasn't been traded yet because he was never going to be traded. You guys are just giving out a narrative, and you guys are just rabble-rousers. You guys are asshats. That's what I was talking about. Listen, you came in here for a week or two straight with your dauber was down. I can't take it anymore. Yeah. These people are just irrational. They're mean-spirited.
Well, that was on social media. It was bad. It was more than a week or two.
All I want to know is if anybody out there has a tendency to be horrible on social media.
No, it's the opposite.
If any of those people have ever thought about maybe saying, hey, you know what, put your hand in the air, go, maybe I got it wrong. I'm not looking for an apology. I'm just looking for somebody to say, hey, maybe I got it wrong.
Tyler,
maybe I got it wrong.
Anybody? Tyler, did anyone call and say that? Just a bunch of people doubling down, huh?
A couple double downs, that's it.
Yeah. All right, 312-332-3776. More of your phone calls, and we'll talk some baseball. Cubs in Seattle. Our old friend Wayne Randazzo is doing the game on Apple tonight. We'll talk to him, and he caused a stir in Major League Baseball with a recent rant on an Angels broadcast. We'll play that for you next.